So tonight we're going to spend just a few minutes in a Savior's prayer. And maybe we should say the Savior's prayer found in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to begin reading with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Very sobering words. Very heartfelt. Very moving. When you really stop and think about what the Savior did for us. We rejoice over the cross. We rejoice over the shed blood. We rejoice of being saved. We rejoice of the grace that Sister Ashley sang about. But yet it came with a cost. And that cost the Lord, His Son Jesus. What great love He has for us. What great love that He showed. And you see through this prayer, and we're just going to make a few comments tonight, but you see through this prayer how sobering and how He knew what was going to take place. He knew who would betray Him. He knew who would say crucify Him. He knew the ones that would be nailing His hands and His feet to the cross. He knew the ones that would be mocking Him. He knew the thieves that would be hanging with Him. He knew the hour that God would turn His back on Him. He knew that He would become sin for us. He knew all these things, but yet He still did it. And for that, we're grateful tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Lord, as we just simply reflect on this prayer, we have to reflect on You. We have to reflect on the burden and the burden of sin that You carry. We have to reflect on what You endured. We have to reflect on the price that was paid. We have to reflect on the fact that this was the only way to salvation. We have to reflect on the fact that Jesus took our place. We have to reflect on just what it means to be saved. But Lord, we also rejoice. We rejoice because of what You did. We rejoice over Your willingness. We rejoice because there was no other way and You chose the plan of salvation. Lord, we rejoice over redemption. We rejoice over the forgiveness of sins. We rejoice that one day we'll be in Your presence to where we can praise You correctly. And we rejoice as we celebrate Easter in just a few days. But Lord, we also want to thank You. Thank You for who You are and what You've done in our lives. We make a lot of mistakes. We carry many burdens. But Lord, we want to thank You for the life that we have in Jesus. So Lord, we pray that You'll help us tonight. For as these things we ask and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. One person said, there are two places that you should frequently visit. The first place is called Calvary. The second place is called Gethsemane. Visiting Gethsemane gives you a fuller appreciation of Calvary. We read to you this passage of Scripture. We read to you the words where it says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. We read to you where He asked His followers to stay awake and watch just for a little while. And they couldn't for a simple hour, which shows you how weak we really are. It shows you how weak that a representation of just how important it was for Jesus to die on the cross. It paints a picture of just how wonderful, but it also paints a picture of what He endured for you and for me. As we visit this garden, we see a Savior with His disciples. And there's just a few things that I want to make mention this evening, and the first thing I want to make mention is first, the Savior's true humanity. You see, He was 100% man, but He was also 100% God. So there was things that He endured. There was things that He endured when it comes to humanity. Verses 36, 37, and 38 gives us a snapshot of just what a heavy burden that He was carrying. You see, He carried the burden where it says, being sorrowful and very heavy. We see the words in verse 37. We see the words in verse 38 that says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And then one simple request, tarry ye here and watch with me. Almost like, as far as the humanity part, almost like He was asking for a little support. You know, support is good. Support is important. And on the humanity side, we think of him asking for just a little support, but yet they failed. They fell asleep. Their eyes were heavy. They couldn't carry that weight of support, which tells us the weight that Jesus carried for us as we consider this prayer. The Bible tells us that the Lord was sorrowful and very heavy. You see, our Lord was and is God. But yet, we understand that He was also the man of Christ Jesus. He understood the human suffering. He understood what pain He would endure. You see, we can relate to the pain because we've hurt ourselves and we've endured pain. And we can try to endure, we can try to understand a little bit of the physical. But yet there's no way that we can understand what He endured when God turned His back on Him. I was trying to think of just what we could relate to when it come to Him just before the cross. Because He had the greatest weight that could ever be carried. He had the weight of the sin of the world. We look at all the wickedness that is taking place in life. We look at how the changes have taken place in this world. We look at the sin and we're disgusted by the things that's happening. We're disgusted by the ideas that man has and the thoughts that man has. But do you realize tonight that even in the most wicked thought, even in the most wicked action, that person could come to know Jesus by asking Jesus into their heart to save them because of what took place on the cross. Because of what took place. And I was trying to think of how we could relate tonight to just a little bit of what He endured. And I was thinking of maybe this illustration. And I was thinking of maybe that illustration. And in reality, I came up short when it come to the understanding of what He did. And then it came to me. What could we relate to when it come to the weight that Jesus was carrying? And the thing that came to my mind was how much a parent loves their children and the suffering that a parent may have to endure. And the fact that you hurt for your children. You long for your children to do the right thing. You long for your children to make the right decision. You long for your children to go on the right path. And I can't help but think that as Jesus was praying, He was thinking of the sin weight that He would have to carry, that He wanted and that He wants people to follow Him. And how that He asked the followers, the disciples, to just sit just for a little while. Just a little while, watch and pray, but yet they fell short. How many times does parents weep over their children when they make the wrong decision, when they go the wrong direction? But I will tell you this, a true parent never stops loving Jesus. Never stops loving. Jesus never stops loving. So we think of what He endured. We also think tonight as we consider this prayer, we also think of the Savior's utter lowliness. His lowliness found in verse 39, where that He went a little farther, the Bible says, and He fell on His face. He fell on His face and He prayed. He prayed. Notice the posture. as he fell on his face. Has there ever been a time that you were carrying such a heavy burden that you didn't know what to do and you just spoke the words, Lord, help me. Help me. That the weight was so great and the burden was so heavy that you didn't know what to do and you fell on your face and you said, Lord, help me. Help me. The Bible says that his soul was exceeding sorrowful even unto death. The weight that he carried, he collapsed. He collapsed and he prayed. We see the tender compassion that he showed in verses 40 through 41. The Bible says, He cometh unto His disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. And then He tells them the truth that we all understand, and that is this: the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The reason I say that during this prayer and during this time that he was showing compassion is simply this: he understood. Just like he understands. It's easy for us as individuals to judge others. And although he asked the question, what? Can't you just pray? Can't you just watch for an hour? He understood the needs. He understood what they would soon have to encounter themselves. In the midst of his agony, in the midst of what he would have to endure, he showed compassion. And I say this evening, what a Savior. What a Savior. That he would show that much compassion. He showed understanding. He showed understanding because he knew. He knew. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. The Bible says, Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter not into temptation. And he spoke the words, the Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You see, there's a lot of weakness as we live this life. There's a lot of weakness when it comes to where we are. But I thought it was notable when I think about his compassion is the fact that he asked his disciples to pray for themselves. He asked his disciples to pray for themselves. It was almost like he was saying, I understand and I know what you're going to go through. I understand the life that you're going to endure. I understand the challenges that you're going to face. I understand. I love you. I know you will be suffering. I know that there'll be challenges. I know that you'll be hated. I know that you're going to have to endure. And he even knew the kind of death that they would have to face. He was asking them to pray so that they would be prepared for what was to come. Be prepared for what was to come. And he did that all while he was praying about the cup that he would have to endure. But yet we also see the Savior's agony. The agony. The agony that he was dealing with. I believe that it was intense. I believe that there was some physical exhaustion. And the reason I believe this is because of just what he had to endure. How that he became sin for us who knew no sin. Exceeding sorrowful, the Bible says. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The weight that he was carrying. The Bible calls it very heavy. Think about your life and think about some of the heavy weights that you've had to carry. Think about the weight that you've had to carry of a burden for someone or even for yourself. And how there might have been a time in your life that you told the Lord, I can't take it. I can't handle it. I can't do this anymore. And you think of that great weight. And then you compare it to Jesus carrying the sin debt of the world. There's no comparison to the agony that he carried. And then we see the Savior's perfect submission. You see, there had to be a perfect submission. A perfect submission. There were times that you were growing up that your parents would tell you to do something. One of the things that I always hated to do when I was younger was I always hated to go to bed. We always had a certain bedtime as my sisters and I lived at home they would always say my bedtime was that I remember. It was a lot earlier when I was younger, but I remember having to go to bed at 8:30. So I remember when I had to go to bed, I thought, well, I'm going to show you I'm not going to go to sleep. And I would fight sleep. And I would fight sleep. Because I didn't want to be submissive. And then finally, when my parents said, you know what? You've been good this week. And I remember it. I was in third grade. And they said, finally, you can stay up late. It was either on a Friday or Saturday night. I don't remember the day. But I thought, I'm going to get to stay up. And I don't remember it because I fell asleep. But you realize that he had perfect submission. Perfect submission. He says the words, "Thy will be done." Perfect submission. And then he says in verse 46, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Rise up and let's go. Where? Where would they be going? What path would they take? Where would they be going? Calvary. You see, For there to be a resurrection, there had to be a crucifixion. For us to have hope tonight, He had to take our place. For us to rejoice and praise Him tonight, we have to have that understanding that He conquered death, hell, and the grave. You see, when He spoke those words, "Rise, let us be going," He knew He would be betrayed, and He knew Calvary would be in just a few days, a few hours. He prayed. But you know, in closing tonight, this prayer shows us how we can pray ourselves. In times of trouble, we're to pray. We're to pray. Verse 36 says, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." In times of trouble, we pray. But sometimes, it's wonderful to have others praying. But there's also times in our life that He gives us an example that we need to pray alone. That we need to pray alone. Verses 38 and 39 says that as He went a little farther and He fell on His face, He prayed alone. And I think of the intimacy that took place between Him and God as He prayed. As He prayed. You see, the others that were around that were a little far off, you see, they were asleep. They couldn't handle it, and they were asleep, but yet He prayed alone. He also prayed intently, found in the verse 39. He fell on His face, and He said the words, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible..." Think about that. "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then He said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." You see, that's intently. And as we pray, we may have burdens and we may have things that we're praying about and we may be earnest and we may be praying specifically, but it tells us no matter what the prayer is that we say, "Not my will, but yours." He prayed for the will of God. He prayed for the will of God. And you know that should be every one of our prayers, is simply praying for the will of God. And then the last thing about prayer and an example for us is that we are to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. There's a lot of temptations out there. And when it comes to temptation, it could come in various shapes and sizes. But I think the one that I think of the most is not necessarily a particular temptation, but yet just the temptation of letting something else come between you and God. That relationship, we should protect that relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That should be the most important thing to us, is our relationship with Him. And there are so many distractions and there are so many things out there that can pull us away. But yet He tells the disciples to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And He says, why? Why is it so important to pray? Why is it so important to be so earnest in our prayers? And that is because the Spirit indeed is willing, but yet our flesh is weak. Weak. You see, this prayer, as He's praying, shows us tonight the importance of prayer. You see, Jesus endured everything for you and for me. No greater love could be shown than Jesus laying down His life for us. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for just this simple thought, but yet such a great truth about Your love and just how Jesus prayed about the cup that He would have to endure. Lord, as we have this invitation here in just a few moments, may we leave this place more thankful for what You did do for us. And may we carry this snapshot of what You endured as we soon celebrate the resurrection. Lord, if there's a need tonight, I pray that they'll come. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that just wants to say thank You, whatever You've spoken to hearts about, and if You've spoken to hearts, may they come. If there's someone that doesn't know Christ, if there's someone listening tonight and watching tonight that know Christ, Lord, speak to that heart. But Lord, we do pray that You'll have Your will and way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.